Pastor Aggressive Podcast. Real life, real faith, real talk. I don't know about you. I'm amped up. I love doing it middle of the week. I really do. I do too.
We've gotten away from this for too long.
Yeah.
We're back. We're in the groove.
I'm not all burnt out from preaching and doing stuff all week.
That was a few months too, bro, of just you going nonstop.
Yeah, it's been nonstop.
I came in today and this dude was taking a nap.
I was taking a little nap and now I'm slamming a Celsius. Real healthy, real good.
I don't think I've ever seen you take a nap, bro.
Real health, real nap, real tired. Okay, so what's been going on in your world this last week?
Today, bro?
Yeah, or whenever, anything exciting.
Yeah, today I had a cool experience with this guy. I heard him talk about his story a little bit, but he really opened up to me today about it. Just a resident where I work at, and this dude was telling me about how when he was 14, something had happened. His parents died. And it was him and his little brother. He told me he's been taking care of his little brother since he was 14.
Wow.
This kid's 20 years old, bro. He just moved out here from Florida about a year ago. And this kid's like late on all types of payments and stuff. We got a special guest, Iris, in the house. And we're back. Special interruption, special guest.
Yeah.
Whatever you want to call it. Anyways, so I met this kid. Super cool, moved here. Now, he's kind of like, how do I say this? His face is kind of like misstructured in some way. And he's like a little stinky and a little weird, like just abnormal to us, whatever that means, right? So I have this judgment on him where I'm kind of like keeping this distance from him. And today I just like sat down and talked with him, bro. He gives me this like crazy testimony, and like God is just putting on my heart to pray with this dude. So I go, do you believe in God? And he's like, of course, bro. And I'm like, I look at him like this. I'm like, what's his name? What's his name? No. He's like, Jesus Christ is Lord, brother. And I'm like, oh, let's go, dude. Got this guy's number, all types of stuff, bro. And like, just had a real good conversation with him about the Lord. And I've been doing that like all week, all last week, because I had this click with this new job where like, I've been so down on it, and I hate the job, and I hate what I'm doing. I'm messing with poop, and I'm getting paid less money and this and that. I just kind of had this click midweek. I'm like, yo, like, what does all that mean, like, if I'm just serving God, right? Yeah, why am I not just serving God with what I'm doing? Why am I not changing my perspective on where I'm at or what I'm doing and just, like, allowing God to move in what I think is a mess, right? And ever since I had that, like, revelation almost – work's just been going smooth. It's just work, you know. It just is what it is.
Yeah,
I enjoy it. It's not like I'm dying every time I go to work. I just love it, man. I'm feeling really good on that front. But I got a possible new job out here, making a little bit more money. I'll be a little closer to you, a lot closer, about 20 minutes closer,
yeah.
And
yeah,
closer to Martinsville and all that. So I'm weighing my options, man. It's like every time I get okay with something, it's like, ditch it. You know what I mean? It feels like, but
it's hard. It's always hard to kind of figure out where you're supposed to be, where you're landing. It's also, I get what you're saying about like judging people's appearance, and like we talked about this all like the whole episode last week was about not, wasn't it? Yeah, salvation belongs to the Lord, and not gatekeeping people's salvation, things like that. Actually, we've been talking about that for a couple of weeks, but
yeah.
Specifically, we talked about that last week. Something that I forgot to mention last week was this song that used to be out in the 90s, way back in the ancient days when, you know, before you were born. There was this song called the Cartoon Song, and it was a Christian song.
Uh-huh.
And it's on all the radio stations. And this dude talked about a bunch of cartoons, probably that you've never seen or heard of. But he's going through all these, like, I guess it was just his way of, like, showing off his, like, voice acting talents, I guess. Because basically he goes through all these, he's like, the whole song is like, he's watching cartoons and he comes up with, he's like, what would it look like if this cartoon character got saved? And so then he starts doing all their voices, and he does like the Flintstones, and does like, and all of them are saying hallelujah, but their version. So he does like yabba dabba do ya and all this.
Just, whoa, pause, bro.
Yeah, all this.
I'm not trying to yabba dabba do nobody, bro. What are you talking about?
But it's this really cheesy song that got really popular in the late 90s, early 2000s. Something like that. I don't know. But I remember it really stuck out to me and was like kind of frustrating to me because he goes through all of this stuff. He talks about like the Smurfs and Scooby-Doo and all this stuff. And then he goes, then he says, Beavis and that other guy, referring to Beavis and Butthead. And then he just goes, nah. Like somehow talking dogs investigating haunted houses and tiny little blue pagans can somehow have a better chance of salvation than a couple of ornery teenagers.
Wait,
get out of here, dork.
You think I don't know who Courage the Cowardly Dog is, bro?
Scooby-Doo.
Oh, yikes.
Yeah.
Yikes. Shot in the dark.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. It's just, it was a wild song, and it used to really get on my nerves because of that. Like, I'm like, this is absolutely upsetting.
This is like a legit song that people were like listening to.
Oh, yeah. It was on the radio. It was a big deal.
That's so horrible.
Yeah. Real bad.
That's so bad.
Anyway.
How was your week, bro?
It was good. I also had a weird situation where I kind of judged somebody by their image, and I was actually right, but that's okay. a guy from my church and I went to lunch today, and we're just doing some discipleship stuff, and it got real loud outside of the place we were eating, and this guy had been sitting there playing guitar and singing, and he was like yelling at somebody that was yelling at him, and we were like, oh, someone's probably just being mean to this poor guy who's playing guitar. But then he was kind of, he's one of those dudes, like, he had dreads, but, like, on accident, you know, where, sure, like, it just happens because your hair be dirty.
Like Todd White.
Yeah. I think Todd White did it on purpose.
I'm just kidding.
But anyway, he's playing guitar and singing. So we walk out of the place that where lunch was, and we're having a hard time, like, you know, long Indiana goodbye, where we're just, like, talking, even though we've already said, hey, I'll see you later. We're just, like, talking out by the curb, and this guy goes, hey, are you guys recording me or something? And we're like, no. No? And he's like, okay, good, because I'm already going to court because all these record producers be stealing my songs and all this stuff, and they've been screwing me for 20 years, so, you know, I didn't want to have to do something about you guys. And we were like, cool, man. God bless you. Have a good day. And he was just an absolute burnout. But that brings me to our topic. We're going to talk about spiritual burnout and burnout in ministry.
He was a burnout.
He was a burnout. We've been talking about this for a couple of weeks, because this is a question that people have asked me about, and some things that people have accused me of that I'm, you know, sometimes,
what, being non-denominational? being gay.
Of being burnt out.
Oh, my bad. Yeah, yeah. My bad. I really thought I was going to hit it on the second one.
The thing is, people will say stuff like, you know, oh, I've been burning the candle on both ends. Well, sometimes it feels like I'm burning the candle on both ends and I got wicks sticking out all over the place that are lit. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's all burning. It's all burning, baby. But that's just part of it sometimes. And I don't think that there's something anything inherently wrong with you. But I think I want to talk about what some of the dangers are and the temptations of it. What does the Bible say about it? And then also maybe a little, like, give you, I'll start with giving you some things that I know of that I believe are signals to myself that I'm heading toward burnout or I'm getting to that place. Okay. You think that's a good start?
The way I've, just to start off, the way I've experienced it recently is with, like, groups that I'm involved in, right? So, like, group ministry where we're ministering to one another and people just don't show, people don't seem committed, don't feel committed.
Yeah.
It's not something that's, like, avoided. I've had these conversations with, like, what does brotherhood look like? What does family look like? Like, are we really committed to this over other things? Like, does our ministry to one another take precedence in our lives? And I really get burnt out by hearing yes and feeling no. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
What are we snapping about?
Nothing.
We have no video playing?
No. Yeah, don't worry about it.
So, like, I really get burnt out on the reactions I'm receiving from other people.
Yeah.
That's a big one for me.
We talked about this last week when we were talking about, like,
on our way to recovery.
Yeah, should we keep this thing going? And, you know, by the way, one of the guys that used to be at Foundations is now on, like, made it through the program on his own.
Yeah.
getting an apartment. He talked to me. I ran into him today when I was doing the prayer thing, and just he's doing
really?
Some awesome, he's got some awesome stuff going on in
praise
his life.
Praise God, bro.
Yeah, so really happy for that.
Super cool
situation. But anyway, back to what we were talking about. Burnout can happen in a lot of different ways, and part of it, I kind of will excuse it and push it off a lot more, and be like, I need to be seeing my ministry as a blessing, not as a burden. And there is some of that. There are some people that just like, they're constantly thinking of it as a burden, so that it feels like a burden, so it's difficult, and you're going to burn yourself out easy that way.
But also, like, burdens aren't inherently an evil thing, right?
Correct. Yes. We're supposed to share each other's burdens, not necessarily we shouldn't have any.
Right. Absolutely.
But with that, I can sometimes shirk that so much that I'm like, it's fine, it's fine, it's fine. Where I'm like that meme of the dog that's drinking coffee and the house is on fire, and he's like, it's fine. You know, like I've definitely been there. But one of the signs I notice when I'm in, like, I'm heading toward burnout, I'm in like a tailspin and it's looking bad, is first thing is calendar confusion.
Okay.
This is where...
Is this going to be like a Baptist breakdown where all the first letters rhyme together?
It's all alliterated. 3 points, 3 sub-points, all alliterated. Perfect.
No, yours are 5 points.
Perfect Baptist sermon.
Calendar confusion.
Yeah, it starts with that, for sure. Like, that's one of the first things that happens is... I get days mixed up. I get things mixed up that are on certain days. And I'll give you an example of this. It was Tuesday. So today's Thursday. Tuesday. I'm already doing it. See, I'm getting confused.
That's just because you're old.
I have a lunch plan scheduled to meet this guy that I ended up meeting today. Had it scheduled for Wednesday. I'm like, all right, I'll see you. We'll make plans to do this time to disciple together and have lunch and talk about some things and it'll be awesome. And he's like, yeah, it sounds great. We already did one last week. And he's like, this is great. Let's keep it going. Cool. No big deal. And then this is Tuesday. Then someone reaches out to me about a lunch plan that I already had and was like, hey, are we still on for our lunch plans? I'm like, oh, shoot.
Yeah.
So I text that guy. I'm like, hey, I already had lunch plans. I'm going to have to move it around. Don't worry. We can still make this work. We can still have lunch together, still do the thing. But it just going to have to be Thursday. I can fit it in Thursday, but Thursdays are busy for me because, you know, I got the prayer square and all this stuff going on. And I was like, but I can make it happen. We can do it.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, cool. No problem, man. So yesterday comes around. And the other person that I'm supposed to have lunch with on Wednesday is texting me about what time and where. And I'm like, how about noon? And I don't care where, you just let me know. And they're like, okay, cool. 10 o'clock comes around. 10:30, 11 o'clock. They haven't told me where we're meeting. And I'm like, hey, just wanted to figure out where we're meeting. And then I realize that the lunch they were reminding me about that I canceled this other lunch for is not until Friday. So I had
what?
I had my days all mixed up. They're like, you mean for Friday? Which tomorrow is Friday. I have plans to go somewhere with my mom because it's like my mom's getting ready to go back to work. Mm-hmm. And so sad. You're finding this out as soon as all the fans are finding out too. So I'm sorry. Can't go see a movie with you tomorrow like we had talked about because I'm going to be out of town with my mom for the day.
That's
so
fine,
sorry,
bro. I've had much time to play the game anyway.
I know. But anyway, So I had made a plan, replaced this plan, forgotten about the plan, made another plan, and screwed it all up.
And live are messing up plans with me.
Right. Yeah. No, like, great. It's That's all awesome. Over the place.
Yeah.
In the midst of all of this chaos, another friend of mine, he's doing, and I'm going to tell you more about this off air so that you can come join us too, but he's going to do some baptisms at a river here locally like next week.
Wow.
And so he wanted me to be a part of that. I was like, yeah, man, I'm happy to be a part of it. And both of us, I kid you not, we went around probably 3 or 4 times scheduling days that worked for both of us, and we'd be like, oh, yeah, that day's good for me. And he'd be like, oh, that day's not good for me. And I'd be like, okay. And he'd be say, what about this day? Oh, that's not good for me. This is, and he'd be like, oh, that's good for me. We found one that we were both good with. I'm like, oh. Then, like, the day later, I was like, dude, I forgot I have plans that day. He's like, oh, that's okay. I do too. It was like, oh, my goodness. But we're both in that place where, like, our calendars are such a mess.
I think that's okay.
Like, but that gets confusing. Like, so the lack of organization in my calendar is the first thing I notice, typically. Second thing, and maybe this is the first thing some people notice about me when I'm getting burnout, is that I have no filter. Are you familiar with that? Have you experienced that from me?
I have seen recently times where you've lost your temper maybe and said some things that you probably wouldn't have said in right mind.
The thing is, sometimes my sense of humor and my temper are intertwined. They're married together.
Yeah, but
and
you know,
I say things that I think are funny but are actually hurtful.
Yeah.
Here's an example. you know how it is. There's always going to be at an older Baptist church that's been around for a long time. There's always going to be this, like, music. Our music is great. Our worship team's awesome. But there's always going to be, no matter how good your worship team is, this thing of, oh, why don't they ever do more old hymns? We want to hear, even though it's like a handful of people that want that, but they're the ones that are more vocal about it, because younger people just typically don't. They're not going to be like, oh man, I wish we didn't play so many hymns.
They don't feel like they have any pull
right,
in the church.
Right, so they're not gonna say as much. So that's been kind of like trickling in a little bit here lately, and people. Like, just some things have been, and like, people posting old hymns online and being like, man, I wish we did more. And like,
a lot less than just, it used to be, though, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you used to get a lot more complaints.
Oh, way more. Yeah. But when it happens, it's just like, so I'm like, you know, talking to Cole, our worship leader, and he is not, nothing.
you're like, here's some AirPods and an Apple, what's that thing called? Never mind.
Nothing phases him. So he's like, yeah, it's cool, man. I'm not worried about it. You know, I'm not really worried about it. We're just doing what we're doing. It's good. But then Wednesday, and there were some people there most of the worship team, actually the whole worship team was there practicing, and some extra people were there practicing for Sunday, and they were playing these older songs because they're going to do some hymns on Sunday. And I was in the sanctuary, and this one song they played, I don't know. It's like an old hymn. I don't know it. Like, it was like, I've never heard this song in my life. It was baffling to me that I had not heard this song, because I've been in church my whole life. As soon as they get done practicing it, this is the broken filter. I go, ah, man, that song was good, but I wish they would play some of those new songs some of us young folks know around here, you know? And I'm like, that was mean. Like, why did I have to be a stinker about it?
Yeah.
But also, that reminded, by doing that, like making a joke out of it, it reminded me how ridiculous it is that people say it on the other side too. Like, that is just a ridiculous thing to say, to be like,
bro, this is where the Orthodox and the Catholics get it right, bro. The liturgies and everything, the structure.
It's all the structure. There's no change in it. Yeah. We can't change this stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
we're like battling between gratitude and reckless love, because God's love ain't reckless.
God's love ain't reckless, you heretic. That picture you posted, and actually Wyatt posted it first.
I know, and I don't know how Facebook works. I wanted to include that he posted anyways.
But it's funny, you posted that picture. It was a fake book cover by Penguin Books, and it said something about how to lose friends by calling them heretics.
Yeah.
That was real good,
bro. I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah, that is that.
I was like,
great.
Dude, that's me. That's like, I call everybody a heretic or a pagan.
Yeah, that's got to be like your favorite book. It's like the book that you like. You
I'd read it
before you go to bed. Like,
yeah, I'd meditate on that for sure.
But anyway, so first thing, calendar confusion.
Second, I experienced that too personally.
Second thing, burnout is my filter is gone, and I just say stuff, even though it probably shouldn't be said. It's like
a lack of grace.
Yeah.
Or a lack of like patience.
Because really I shouldn't be thinking these things either. But when I get to the point where I'm burning out, then there's nothing stopping the thoughts from coming out.
Well, it's like what Wade says, catch a thought before it comes a thought. So normally we have like weird thoughts like that. But like in the right mind, you know, we're really focused on God. Like,
yeah,
we know that that's bad and we shut it down like that. But yeah. Sometimes when we're upset, we let it fluster a little bit in our minds, you know?
Yeah.
I get what you're saying.
And then the third thing is just straight up irritability. Like, everything just starts to become like a chore, and I'm angry about everything. Like, when Iris came down here.
Yeah.
Now, granted, that is annoying, but...
You had a critique of me recently that you said something like that I acted like everything was a big task for me. And I've really thought about that a lot. That's something to think about, because you don't really want to give off that vibe. And if I am, it's like undetectable for me in a weird way. Like, I can't tell that I'm doing it.
What's really wild is that people have been coming to me lately with advice about what to do when they're getting burnout, which is interesting, because I'm like, bro, I'm in the phase of it. Like, I'm in it.
Yeah.
But I think that might be a good thing, because like it, when I'm not experiencing it, when I'm not in those moments of burnout, I think sometimes it's easy for me to then, kind of brush people off when they come with advice about like, oh, what do I do about being burnt out? Because then in my mind, I'm like, well, if I'm not burnt out, you certainly shouldn't be. You know what I mean? Like, and that's a pride thing. I definitely need to work on that. No, but
you're right, though, on that.
Yeah. So it's hard for me, unless I'm in it, it's hard for me to realize, oh, yeah, this is easy to happen. This is something that we should be concerned with. And there are biblical ways to handle this.
This is real faith. This is what I call real faith. It's like, you're not going to respect the advice of somebody who hasn't been where you're asking advice from. You know what I mean? So as a pastor, I want somebody. This is the hard thing with young pastors, is that like experience really does matter. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like when I come to talk to you about something, I'm not just looking for you to quote verses to me, right? I'm looking for, because the appealing thing about our Lord, one of the appealing things about our Lord, is that he suffered as we suffer.
Yes.
That he has experienced what we experience in ways. And that's appealing, that's attractive. So in our council, in our people we look up to, our spiritual fathers and brothers and all this and that, we want that. We yearn for that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So with spiritual burnout, you kind of got to experience it. I'm sure every Christian experiences spiritual burnout.
Yeah. And this could be like...
If you're in ministry.
No, I think there can be some of it where it's just like you're burnt out from... Well, you're right. It needs to be ministry. Like, if you're in ministry at some... But we all should be in ministry.
Yeah, because, like, who's getting burnt out from coming to church every Sunday?
Right, yeah. You shouldn't, but it happens.
Or maybe, maybe I'm dogging on something that doesn't need to be dogged on. Yeah.
But, so, like, some of the advice that I'll give people when they bring this... Like, for example, someone brought me this case of, hey, I don't want to get burnt out, but I know I'm doing all of these things. What should I do? And I told them, and I was, you know, kind about it, but I said one of the things that this person struggles with is people go to them with complaints about stuff. Like, for example, if someone had a complaint about music and didn't want to go to the music leader, they would go to this person and just like dump all their problems on them. And I said, first thing is you need to not allow that. You need to deter the problems that are not yours to the person that they need to be addressing. And that's biblical.
Because you're enabling.
Yeah, that's biblical. Because what you're doing is, in a roundabout way, not intentionally, but you're enabling gossip rather than solving a solution. Even if you try to solve it yourself by reaching out to the right people or connecting the right people, you need to remove yourself from the things that are not your problem. I said that's the first thing. Like, remove yourself from the things that do not involve you.
Sure.
And they were like, okay, yeah, that is actually very helpful advice. The second thing I told them is the things that you do well, but also there are some things that you pour into that don't need the level of attention that you give them. So like sometimes they'll make certain things like a board that they're on that's kind of like, it's not a really important thing. It is an important thing, but it's not like a life or death situation. You're not like, this is not going to make or break somebody's life.
Yeah.
But then they're like hyper focused on that thing and making sure all of the details are there. It's like, you could probably ease up on that thing a little bit. Let off the gas on that thing.
Yeah.
Don't give it up completely, especially if it's something you're passionate about, but you can lighten the load a little bit and not go all in on this thing.
Mm.
So if you can let go of, like, completely eliminate the things that you are not directly responsible for, as far as if someone brings you an issue, say, hey, this is the person you need to go to with that. I'm not really directly involved.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first thing. That's not like pushing away your responsibility. That's redirecting responsibility to where it belongs.
Sure.
And then second, not overdoing something that doesn't need to be overdone, if that makes sense.
I experience this a lot with ministry where, like, something is good, so I want to do it, and I kind of do it so much that I, you know, the water is tasteless. You know, the juice has lost its flavor. You know what I mean? I did this with some of the guys from church camp. I think I spent too much time with them to where our time became less valuable. I did this with some kids I was taking to the movies. I was doing it too much.
Yeah.
And I couldn't figure out how to space it and how to keep it the same feeling every time, which just isn't reliable. I mean, it's doing ministry, especially like repeated things like recovery, Bible studies.
Yeah.
It's not always like the same miraculous feeling. Sometimes it's just like a chill session. But anyways, what are some other things that you've experienced help with spiritual burnout?
Other things that help with it?
Yeah, help with neglecting it, or
knowing when to say no, even when it's a good thing. And this is something I'm not good at.
Yeah, what does that mean?
Let me let me clarify that this is not something I have figured out at all. I'm actually very bad at this. Yeah. This is what we talked about with the recovery group thing, is like where we're like, it may be time to end it. We don't know. Or at least reevaluate what it looks like, or something. Mm-hmm. But I'm just like so committed to it that I'm like, that's not even, no's not an option for me, you know?
Yeah.
And that's happened to me many times where I'm like, I'm doing this regardless. And it's like, well, maybe this isn't really working. Not saying that's what's going to happen with the recovery group. I'm just saying that I've done this in the past, and I've...
No, because we had all these thoughts, and then recovery
and then
was
awesome.
Awesome.
Yeah. So that's definitely not going to... Yeah, so we're going to have to see what happens with that. But I've done this before, where, and I know I struggle with this, but there's sometimes that something might be a good thing, but it's not the right thing for you to do.
What's an example of that? It doesn't have to be personal.
Well, I think the only thing I can say for sure is a personal thing, or even it's not the right time. So, like, for example, both this pastor friend that I have in Liberia and a pastor friend I have in Pakistan both desperately want me to come out to their churches.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the right time to do that.
This makes me think of Paul, when Paul was trying to go to Asia, I think it was.
The
Holy Spirit was stopping him from going to Asia.
Well, he's going. Yeah, he's getting ready to go to Ephesus again, and he's like, "No, I can't do that. I'm gonna have to go around it." And then there's a time when he's trying to get to Rome, and nothing's working out.
Yeah.
Until he's like, "All right, I'm not going to Rome anymore." And then the ship wrecks in Rome, and then he's like, "All these things happen that like
it would have been a good thing for him to do those things."
Yeah, like especially in Acts chapter 20. It's where he's kind of like saying his final farewells to a lot of the churches.
Mm-hmm.
He ends up eventually going to Ephesus and saying a final farewell. And then that leads into Acts chapter 21, which is like the most devastating passage. It's like his farewells, and like the disciples are telling him, like, the Spirit's telling us that it's not a good thing for you to go to Jerusalem.
Yeah.
And then he's like, I'm going anyway, because I think the Holy Spirit is telling me to go to Jerusalem.
Yeah.
And we can get into that in a little bit. But so there's things like that where it's like, yeah, this feels like the right thing. And for me, these churches, I don't know that it would be dangerous for me to go to those places. Those places do sometimes tend to be inherently dangerous. But I also know that I don't personally right at this moment feel called to go to those places. So to force it would be not the right thing. Also, I know that both of those places, I'm not saying this is right or wrong, but both of those places would celebrate my arrival in a way that I would almost feel like a rock star kind of going there, you know what I mean?
Sure.
And I know that's not good either. And I don't think it's bad for them to want to celebrate me, but I know that my heart is not in a position where I would receive that well.
I think it would. I would change it from being able to say no to a good thing to like focusing on spiritual discernment, right?
Yeah.
So like that's like what we're talking about with Paul. Like a scriptural example is like, he spiritually discerned that, you know, things weren't going right. So obviously I'm not meant to be here. Let's change course, you know. I don't think I think we should try to do all good things, but we need to be able to discern when that good thing is not meant for us to do, right?
Yeah.
Instead of like, because then we could use like saying no to a good thing as an excuse, you know, like, no, absolutely. I don't want to start doing Sunday nights because, you know, that's my day for rest.
Right. Oh,
it's
yeah.
Like, it's like, you know, yeah. Playing GTA 5 until 2 in the morning isn't like,
yeah. No, that's a really good point. So what Paul does in Acts 21 is he goes, and Luke is writing it, and Luke's writing from his perspective, basically. And he said, he's like, Luke and the disciples all get this feeling that Jerusalem is dangerous. Yeah. And they interpret that as the Holy Spirit's telling us to tell you not to go.
Right.
And we do this in the church. This is like how the modern American church operates in the prophetic now,
yeah.
Is we get the right we get the right thing from the Holy Spirit, but we discern it the wrong way.
Well, yeah.
And so that's what they do, is they say, this is dangerous. Well, then this prophet comes out of nowhere that has not related to any of this, doesn't know. For some reason, Paul's belt is off.
Yeah, I know about
And he
this.
Grabs the belt, and he ties up his wrists yeah. and his feet, and he says, whoever's belt this is going to be bound and suffer like this where they're going.
Yeah.
And Paul's like, that me, I'm that guy.
Yo.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. What up?
What up?
And then the disciples are like, see, this is what I'm saying. And he's like, no, the Holy Spirit's telling me to go. But what the Holy Spirit clears up in that moment with that prophet that has no bias is that the danger doesn't mean don't go.
Right.
He's just preparing Paul, not redirecting Paul.
Right.
And that's where we have to have this discernment. And even wise counsel, that Luke and the disciples are like, no, I don't think this is a good idea.
Yeah.
Really, they were getting the right feeling from the Holy Spirit that there was going to be danger. But that is the prophecy, yeah. Not don't go.
Yeah.
And so that's part of not getting burnt out too, is proper Holy Spirit discernment. Something can seem like a really good thing,
yeah.
And the Holy Spirit may be leading you to, hey, I think this is something that should happen. But that doesn't necessarily mean that it's for you to do.
Yeah, this is like a loaded question, though, because like, we got to define what's good, right? So it's good that Paul went to where he was going to be bound yeah. and killed. You yeah. know what I mean? That's technically or like holistically good.
Yeah.
So like in spiritual burnout, I think a lot of it is like we're doing things that we think are good. You know, we think it's good that we're at every single one of these events, right?
Yeah.
But maybe it's actually harmful. Maybe it's harmful to the growth of the people leading these events, or maybe it's harmful to the people attending these events because they're coming for you, or all these like different reasons. We might be thinking we're doing a good thing. I think I've been doing this recently. I won't talk about it on the pod, but I feel like I've been doing this thing that I think is good, but it might actually be detrimental to the people I'm doing it for. So I've kind of had to recheck and reevaluate that, like, yes, I still love these specific people and I want this specific relationship with them, but I need to go about it a different way than what I thought originally was good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So what's the rest of the story here? What happens when Paul is faithful to that and it doesn't feel good. It's not a good thing on the surface. He goes to Jerusalem. They get upset. They bind him. They persecute him. And he then says, I'm a citizen of Rome. I want to be tried in Rome. And they send him to Rome, which is where he's been trying to go this entire time. So the purpose wasn't necessarily the suffering itself, but the suffering was going to get him where he was supposed to be.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. It's wild. It's just the end of Acts is crazy. And
this is like kind of spiritual burnout though. Cause like, this is so crazy. We just stumbled on this scripture. The spiritual burnout is almost a good thing because you almost have this reminder of revival, or like this revival in yourself after you realize that, like, oh shoot, I've been doing, personally, this is how I experienced spiritual burnout, doing good things in the wrong manner and for the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
Right? But that sucks when you realize that. It sucks, but it doesn't, because you're realizing a fault that now you have to work on, which sucks, but it's good that you realize the fault. But also, like, rekindling that, rekindling a relationship with the Lord where it just feels intimate and real is, like, a struggle.
Yeah.
Like, really feels like suffering. Because you're trying to figure out things and get back to places and forget things that you've, like, cemented into your brain that might be bad and might be evil. This is my experience. And it's a struggle, but it's a joyful struggle.
Yeah.
So with the burnout comes, like, you know, you hit the bottom of this hill, but then you start going back up, man. And then you might hit that peak, get too big for your britches, and have to hit the bottom again. And it's a revolving cycle. But the thing is, I think as Christians, us experiencing spiritual burnout is probably a good thing, because that means we are, like, we are in the Spirit doing things for the kingdom of God, right? If you're not experiencing spiritual burnout and everything is comfortable and easy, I would question, are you, like, not are you saved, right? But are you performing for the Lord?
Yeah.
What's that sound like? I don't know. I don't know. I just question, like, are you doing things for the Lord?
Yeah, that's a good.
Is that illegitimate?
No, I think that's a good perspective.
Yeah, I don't know. But also, they might just be more mature than me, so.
Yeah, I don't know. Okay, so we've talked about what burnout looks like, how we handle it, what the Bible says about it. So what are some other things that we can do maybe to... Well, I don't know. Do we want to even talk about if we avoiding it, or is it, or do we think, have we come to the consensus that burnout is actually maybe a good thing to an extent?
The only way I can think to avoid it is to, like, keep the right intention the whole time.
Yeah, that's very difficult.
Right. And yeah. that's why I'm saying, like, that would be the way to do it.
Yeah.
I can understand the way to do it, but I just don't work like that.
Yeah.
My flesh is weak, but my spirit is willing.
Yeah.
So I have these enlightened moments where I realize that I'm working because I'm here to serve God. I own a house, or I own a car, or I have a family because I live to serve God. But I can start to look at these things that have started to serve me like they are God and get real distracted and have to be pulled back in to, like, I go to Honduras not so I can tell people I'm a missionary and get clout. I go to Honduras to serve the people of God there. You know what I mean? I go to church to serve the people of God in my community.
Yeah.
Not to tell people that I'm a churchgoer. You know what I mean? So if, like, as soon as I start going off that intention road, that good intention, true good intention road, that's where I lose it. So if I could stay on that road 24/7, I'd be good.
Yeah.
But I can't.
It's impossible.
I can't ride that bull long enough.
So you mentioned Honduras. You know our boy AJ is coming to town next week.
Yeah, next week?
Yeah, dude.
Bro, when's he coming here?
He's going to be...
Is he podding with us?
I don't know. Maybe. I got to see what he's got going on Sunday after we do. So not...
You all right?
Calendar confusion. Calendar confusion. Oh, my bad. The way the podcast is recorded and when it posts makes this very confusing. As I'm talking to you, it's not this Sunday, but the next Sunday. But if they're listening to this podcast when it comes out, it'll, like, the day it comes out, then Sunday. It's the coming Sunday.
Sure.
Very confusing. Anyway, that being said, yeah, so he'll be here on, like, the 10th, I think.
Okay. And then we're doing a pod with Matt.
I hope so. He's going to be here, too. Did he say something to you about it?
Nah, but you texted me.
Did I say something about... Oh, yes, I did say something about that. We need to text him before you leave today. We need to text him and verify. Because I had sent him the dates you sent me, or vice versa. I don't remember. But he never got back to me to say yes or no on those dates.
Yeah, when's he going to the Philippines?
Like 2 weeks or something after that. Shoot. So he's heading out.
I've never seen him experience spiritual burnout, bro. And talk about a guy that's doing a lot for the Lord, bro.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he does it. He is very level-headed, though. He is not like us in that sense.
We're too emotional.
Yeah, he doesn't get out. He doesn't get all crazy like that.
Maybe this is a good example, though. He's somebody who runs in the mornings, somebody who is not on social media, not on YouTube, not on any nonsense. He's somebody that's very, like, in tune with what's around him, physical.
You know, the news cycle is very exhausting as far as, like, the things that if you're plugged in all the time.
Emotionally exhausting. Yeah. I mean, when you're scrolling through shorts, dude, and you come out of it, you, like, put your phone down, you're, like, in a daze. Yeah. I'm, like, in a whole nother, like, mood when I come off the phone. I have to, like, reset and take deep breaths, and I'm like, why am I? This is like a drug. Seriously, it's like I'm high for 30 minutes, just sucked into this phone screen. Elon Musk is just laughing to the bank.
It's like for every Jakob Wendestin and Wes Huff that I see, there's equal amounts Sam Shamoons and Taco Talks and whatever else that just like makes me. There's equal amounts. Steven Anderson's on there that just really wreck my world.
You used way too much like
pop culture.
Yeah, bad pop culture.
I saw this video, a Steven Anderson video. We talked about him last week where he was, of course, the video starts with him yelling about something. And I got a little excited. I was hoping against hope that maybe he'd heard our podcast and was getting ready to rip our podcast. Turns out it wasn't. That's too bad. That's too bad. But
we don't want anyone ripping the pod, man. I want conversations with people, man. I've had some people listen to our pod and talk to me about how they disagree and this and that. And I'd be like, I'd love to talk to you about it on or off the podcast.
Yeah, I love those conversations.
Yeah, there's nothing better, bro. I want, like, if I'm never challenged in my faith, I wouldn't have the faith that I have.
Yeah,
for sure. If nobody ever pushed back on me and been like, why do you believe that? I would have never asked that question myself. You know what I mean?
Yeah. We need to, wrestle with our faith sometimes. It's important.
Hulk Hogan, baby.
R.I.P.
Bro, I've been getting a whole lot of Ozzy Osbourne, like, shorts on YouTube.
Yeah, yeah.
From his, like, show that he did with his wife.
Yeah. That's crazy.
I know we just talked about this, bro. I don't know if that dude was saved. Shoot. Oh, no. I don't know. I'm not going to say that. But
it's not up to us.
I'm not going to say that. But I'm like in his last years, he definitely was still like a wild boy.
But in his last days, what does the Bible say about that? About the servant in the 11th hour getting paid the same? Jesus tells a parable
where they all start at different times, but they all get paid the
same.
And
then the people who were there all day, they're like, what gives? We were here all day and made that money. He's like, you agreed to that. That was the terms of the deal.
What does that parable mean?
That we shouldn't be upset if somebody, like, because there's some people who'd be like, I didn't have any fun my whole life because I was a stick-in-the-mud Christian that never sinned, which obviously they were because they're being prideful. But they're like, I grew up in church. I did everything right. I never partied. I never went wild. And then somebody like Ozzy Osbourne is wild now all his whole 70-plus years.
Yeah.
And then in the last days finds Jesus. That's not fair. And then Jesus is like, hey, you agreed to it. And you were blessed because you didn't have to go through all of those things. And you got to walk with me the whole time. So,
interesting.
Yeah.
I've always read that parable and not understood it. Bro, I've been reading Leo Tolstoy's My Religion again. I just love it, bro. I think I was talking to Tanner on Monday, or yesterday, actually. I was talking to him about this, how I don't believe in, like, putting people in prison or, like, death sentence or punishment or any of this or that. And he said to me, I kind of missed this whole point in Leo Tolstoy's book. He said to me that, he's like, well, I still believe in consequences. And I was like, well, yeah, well, so do I. In the moment, I realized, like, so do I, but, like, I'm not the consequence giver.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. That's been raining super heavy on my mind.
So do you prefer My Religion to The Kingdom of God is Within You?
I don't think I've read that
one. As far as Tolstoy books? Oh, did you not read that one?
No, I started
it. I read them both back to back, and I felt like I liked The Kingdom of God is Within You more than My Religion. Yeah.
I got kind of lost on the C.S. Lewis Space Trilogy and started listening to that.
But also, C.S. Lewis Space Trilogy is good too.
I know. Also, I've been listening to like a lot of MMA podcasts. So for some reason, what do you know? Who Rampage Jackson.
Yeah.
Dude, he's a wild boy. He professes to be a Mormon. He says it just like this. He's like, you know, now I'm a born again Christian. He says born again Christian every time.
Yeah.
But then he says he's not religious, and I get what he's saying, but also he's talking about like, you know, getting vajayjay and all types of stuff.
And the church was an institution established by Christ, so
it depends on what you mean by religious.
Yeah, that I always struggle with that.
That's like a cultural word. I struggled calling myself a Christian for a little while there.
Just everybody goes through that phase. We're really? Like, I'm a Christ follower. You know that, yeah.
Yeah, like an anarchist face.
Yeah, yeah.
Like a do what your parents tell you not to do.
Yeah, things. Yeah. It's crazy stuff. Everyone's now because of Superman. Everyone's saying, you know, kindness is the new punk rock. It's kind of like that.
That was so dumb. I hated that. I hated that Superman movie.
Did you really?
They're making superheroes weak, dude.
I love.
That's why I like Batman, because Batman's just like hard, dude.
I loved Superman, and I loved Fantastic Four. Although I'm not going to rub that in because you wanted to go see that with me.
You're a horrible person. You know what's crazy is Monday night our Bible study got canceled, so I hit my boy Avery up. I'm like, yo, let's go to the movies, and I'm like, should I see Fantastic Four before I see it with Warner? Nah, we watched Superman again, bro.
Oh, no. You should have seen Fantastic Four. Yeah,
now that you've calendar confused my life up, dude. Jeez.
Oh, it's good, man. It's a good one. I want to talk about some of the themes in Superman and Fantastic Four after you've seen Fantastic Four on the podcast, as far as like the spiritual implications of the themes of these movies.
Thunderbolts did that too.
We could really talk about that too. Yeah, maybe we do a whole episode in a couple of weeks once you've caught up on movies.
I'm not pop culturally enough though, bro. I'll forget a lot of stuff.
But all of those things, like, I don't know about Thunderbolts. Thunderbolts is fairly newer as far as like in the lexicon of comic books, but Superman and
the canon of comic books.
Fantastic Four, they both like both of them have like spiritual concepts behind them.
I agree.
Both created by Jewish guys, actually.
Really?
But there's this interesting thing, and maybe this is I think this is probably a topic for another podcast. But maybe this will get people excited for it if they're nerdy enough. But you know, I used to do a podcast called Nerd Management that was all about comic books and movies.
What was the acronym?
Nerd Management.
Thought it was something racist. So
No.
My bad.
Nah. But when we did that, that's all I talked about. So this stuff gets me really revved up. But that was not with believers. Like, so I wasn't able to talk the religious side of stuff very often. So I would love to do a podcast about the like religious implications of Superman and Fantastic Four and other superhero things. But Superman especially, he's created by two Jewish guys. And originally is like an allegory for Moses. But then as culture changed and as people got a hold of it and like some Catholics started writing it and stuff, then he became like almost like a Jesus-like figure. But originally Superman's meant to be Moses. Like he comes from a different land in a little basket. Mm-hmm. Is raised by someone who's not his actual parent, and then realizes as he grows up that he has a purpose to save people. It's like it's Moses. He's just Moses. But anyway, that they there's so much more than just that in the lore of the comic books. But then also, if we look at these movies, especially those two and Thunderbolts, mm-hmm. I feel like 2025 superhero movies really hit some like deep theological topics.
Superman
without
maybe like,
even knowing it.
Superman is like the Leo Tolstoy Jesus, though. He's like all peace and no destruction or no killing.
Yeah.
What do you think about the Green Lantern? Didn't he used to be black? And they made him white? And then they made him some Chad looking mofo.
No. Hold on. So the answer when you ask that question is yes. All of those guys are Green Lantern. Green Lantern is like Green Lantern is like a space police, and there's hundreds of thousands of them from different planets, and there's like five of them, maybe more than that, from Earth, and one of them's like a Middle Eastern guy, one of them's a black guy, one of them's a white guy that is like a pilot.
The Middle Eastern guy is just Aladdin.
One of them's a white guy that's like from a different he's like an artist. One of them is the Chad-looking guy that you were talking about.
His name is Guy.
Guy Gardner, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of them. There's a whole slew of Green Lanterns.
I would love to talk about this, but then I'm going to do my... Never mind. I got something loaded for that. I'm not going to say it. I can't spoil it right now.
Okay, yeah. So here we go. This is actually the last episode of the season. So season two.
It is, bro.
Season two wrapping up. Maybe season three we open up with this weird pop culture superhero one. What does pop culture and superheroes have like... We could do several different episodes about like books and movies and comic books and stuff that have religious themes in them and kind of break those things down. Because like
we do one on Narnia,
we could talk about Narnia, we could talk about Lord of the Rings, we could go through all that stuff. Yeah, that sounds fun. That's maybe fun. Maybe next season we'll do a couple of those in there. Yeah. All right. Yes, well, that's a solid end to another season. Man. We did it. We
praise God, baby.
Somehow accomplished 44 episodes of this podcast.
That's impressive, bro. That's 44 weeks.
Yeah.
That's almost a year.
Yeah, almost. Yeah. When we get to 52, that's a year. Okay. But I think episode 50, we should make a big deal of it, whatever that is. I don't know.
Yep. Maybe we can have all our fans out
to a very do a big small live venue. Podcast.
We can all fit in a Prius.
I talked to you about doing a live podcast for the book release, and you're like, I'm going to have to pray on that, bro. I don't know. I'm like, wait, what does that mean?
I'm not trying to... At your church?
No, it's not going to be the church now. I thought better of it since then.
That's what I had to pray. Yeah. That's what I was saying. I'm like, I don't know if I want to do a live podcast in front of your church.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't going to be for a church service. It wasn't like I was going
to... But on stage where preaching is and worship...
Sure. Takes place. Yeah, like, I get that. And I'm not going to now. I'm going to find a venue. It's going to cost me money. Thanks, bud.
Okay, but, buddy. Not like I'm $8,000 in debt on the setup, bro. Like, what are you going
on, bro? But
like, my bad.
But the point I was going to say, that I was going to make is, it wasn't going to be a Sunday morning, like, instead of worship time, we're going to do a live podcast. And instead of me preaching a sermon, I'm going to sell you my book.
Then why didn't you just text back and be like, what do you mean by that? You
know, like, I was just going to use the building, which the building is not the church, Zach.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about that anymore.
It's not happening. My book that's coming out hopefully the first week of October,
uh-huh,
called Through a Glass Darkly. is going to be on Amazon, but also it's going to be I'm going to do a release somewhere, and I think we should do a live podcast,
guest or no guest,
probably just us, but I think the people at the book event, this is Matt's idea actually, the live podcast thing, people who come for the book release can ask us questions on the air and we'll answer it.
Well, we have like a mic for them.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm down.
Sounds fun, right?
That sounds funsies.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
I said to talk. See, this is why I don't text you. One, because you don't text back. Two, because you get confused about what I'm trying to sell you on.
Nah, bro. Never mind. Anyways,
but I cleared it up.
The podcast, bro.
But I cleared it up, and that's the truth. Yeah, but God's truth won't back down, and neither should you. Stay focused, stay aggressive, and stay relentless for God's glory.